marching off the map. I love this phrase, marching off the map. In fact, I want this to be indelibly etched in your brain because I think the way we lead, the way we manage, the way we raise our kids from this point on, it's going to be marching off the map. Now, the reason I can say I love this phrase is because I actually borrowed it from somebody that lived centuries ago. Do you all remember in world history class studying this guy named Alexander the Great? Remember this guy? You at least heard about him or read about him. Alexander the Great was this incredible Greek leader, conqueror, emperor. In fact, he came from a long line of Greek minds and philosophers. He grew up in a very wealthy home. In fact, his parents were so wealthy that they enlisted Aristotle to be his tutor. Can you imagine? Who's your mentor, Aristotle? I mean, who says that, you know? But he grew up to be a very ambitious man. And so when he became a young man, he actually assembled three armies. And he marched across the known world, conquering every bit of territory along the way. But he didn't stop with the known world. He actually marched into lands for which we had no maps for yet, hence the phrase. He marched into territory where they found new lakes, new mountains, new trees, new species, new water. In fact, this is so interesting to me, he actually frustrated some of his soldiers because he transformed them into map makers. They were literally mapping as they marched. Anybody see where I'm going with this tonight? I actually believe, moms and dads, we are mapping as we march. Certainly there's fundamentals that should always be there. We'll review those. But I'm saying, are you willing? Are you willing to say, maybe in today's world, because culture's just shifted so much, we may need to try some new ways of leading them to get them ready for the world they're about to enter into, which is different than the one I entered into as a young adult. Now, if what I'm saying seems a little daunting, you're not abnormal. You're actually normal, okay? In fact, humans down through the years have always, we've always liked familiar things, haven't we? We like to master things, and when we master things, it's familiar. We've got a routine down. We just keep doing the same thing. And so we often perpetuate what our mom and dad did, who perpetuated what their mom and dad did. Isn't this true? So let me illustrate why I say you're normal when you don't like change, or at least you don't like to make change. Do you ever remember looking at one of those maps from antiquity? One of those maps that were drawn maybe 300 years ago? They looked something like this. They were very colorful. They had all the landmarks drawn out and kind of illustrated. But do you see what's in the upper left-hand corner of this map? What is that? Yeah, it's a sea serpent or a dragon. As if to say, over here, we know this territory. Out here, be afraid. Be very afraid. And folks, I got to be honest with you. Can I just get real serious with you after I've done my comedy here? I see a fear narrative in parents in all 50 states I get into. We're afraid for our kids. We're afraid they're not going to be ready. We're afraid they're not going to get in the right college. We're afraid of school shootings. We're afraid of social media. Am I right about this? And even though you may not have ever said it out loud to your spouse, I'm just thinking this is a fear narrative that we got percolating inside, which keeps us, maybe even prevents us from really leading them well. Certainly for them taking perhaps risks they need to take. So we have sea serpents that we draw in our minds to places we don't know. And I'm just saying, what if we remove the sea serpent and said to our spouse, sweetheart, let's do this. Or if you're a single parent, I'm going to get an accountability partner and you need to hold me accountable. I need to do this differently now. I don't want to perpetuate what my mom did with me or what I know is happening across the neighborhoods of Orlando, but it's not right. That's what I'm nudging you to do, okay? You want to stay in the room with me? All right, let's keep moving. So bottom line, the way I kind of look at this, I'm just going to cut to the chase. It seems like among parents today, there's two kinds of people. This is just me, but let me give you my two kinds. See if you can find yourself in this list. There are the pioneers. That's the ones I'm nudging you to become tonight, if you're not already. So those are the ones who explore and pave the way for others. But then there are the settlers, okay? And those are the ones who move ahead only when they know it's safe. Would you agree with me? For every one pioneer, there's probably 10 settlers. Am I right about this? I'm thinking this school is really committed to being pioneers, to be ahead of the game as we prepare kids for life. And I'm just saying, if you could join them and just say, I don't know what this means, but I know we got to step out and try this. This could be an incredible collaboration. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot look at the word settler without thinking about that television commercial that came out a couple of years ago. Do you remember DirecTV had that commercial called The Settlers? And it was this 19th century family that moved into a 21st century neighborhood and they completely didn't fit. Here's what the commercial looked like. Here it is.
Whoa.
Father, why can't we have DirecTV like the McGregors do?
We're settlers, son. We settle for things, like having cable instead of DirecTV.
Hey, Jebediah, how's it going?
Working the land, hoping for a fertile spring.
All right.
So, we have to live with lower customer satisfaction?
I'm afraid so. Now, go churn us some butter, boy, and then make your own clothes.
Yes, sir.
Don't be...
Isn't that awesome? Now, as I have gotten, even this fall, among students, college students, high school students, and I'll show that and we'll talk about this, the students will very diplomatically and respectfully say, yeah, that's how we see you. And not just me individually or in particular, but us as adults. Many of the kids are saying, I'm not looking for adults for any cues on my future. How would you know? I'm probably going to get a job that doesn't even exist today. That's how they're thinking. And by the way, you know some of them are right, don't you? I mean, within the next decade, 10 to 15 years, jobs are going to be so different. And artificial intelligence and we'll have smart everything. And I'm just saying, are we ready to get them ready to be the humans, the people they need to be with all of this at their disposal? I don't think we have to give up morals to be on the cutting edge. Would you agree with me? So we've got to figure out how do we do this, okay? So let's keep going. Here's my question. Why do our children need pioneers with new maps? We actually looked at this briefly with the faculty. I want to look at it again now with you, Mom and Dad. And then I want to venture into who are these kids and how do we lead them well. So this is the big $52,000 question. Why do kids need pioneers with new maps? One of the fundamental reasons, I believe, is that because we are raising a generation of firsts. And by that, I mean it's a population of kids growing up in the 21st century, not the 20th century, that are inaugurating so many new realities. It's no wonder we don't know what to do. We've never faced this situation before. Have you ever felt that way, by the way? I don't know. I'm having to make this up as I go. One illustration I love to give is my own parents could not teach me how to raise a child with a portable device in their hand. They never raised a child with a portable device. So my wife and I are just making it up as we go with our two 20-something kids. So let me show you what I mean. Generation of first. Today's kids, think about it, are the first generation that doesn't need adults to get information. This just is a game changer. We parents used to be so necessary because we knew and they didn't. Well, now that's not true. Thank you, Google and YouTube. They don't need you for information. But Mom and Dad, they do need you for interpretation. Let me help you make sense of all that you know. I realize you watch 15 TED Talks or YouTube videos. Now let me give context to all the content. Isn't this the problem of our day? We have content with no context. And then we send a tweet about it, you know? Seriously. And we don't know what we're talking about. So we need to say, I'm going to be a Sherpa guide, walking my child through this and interpreting what's going on, helping them form a great worldview about all this content or fake news that's coming out. I think we got to do that. But our job changes slightly. We're not the informant. They don't need you to access the information, but to process the information. Here's another one. Today's kids are the first generation that can broadcast their every thought or emotion. Now, I know that's not the end of the world, but isn't that a game changer? And I've mentioned earlier, this has NCAA programs in a quandary, where that star athlete is tweeting what he thinks about his coach, forgetting he's the PR for the university. So seeing this, because of what I do, I raise both my kids. This is the sermon they heard all the time. Think long term. Think big picture. Think high road. Think long term. What are the long term ramifications of my words? Think big picture. Is there another angle besides mine that might be legitimate? And think high road. Let's take the high road with people, not the low road. Don't you think Washington, D.C. would be better if we took a little more high road? So all I'm saying is, let's build this into our kids. If we missed it, let's at least make sure they get it. Here's another one. Today's kids are the first generation that enjoys external stimuli at their fingertips 24/7. Now, can I tell you why I added this to the list? The reason I think this is even significant is this. As I watch my own two kids who are now adults grow with smartphones pinging at them all the time, stimulating them from the outside, I thought to myself, will they ever develop internal motivation? Will they don't need Lady Gaga to get them going in the morning? I hope so. Nothing wrong with Lady Gaga. She's fine. But I'm just saying, I want something come from within, a passion, an ambition that doesn't require something to get me going on the outside. So how do we do that? Our grandparents didn't have that problem. We got this problem. How do we build that from within where they're driven to study or do something great because it's inside of them? How do we build that? Here's another one. Today's kids are the first generation that's in social contact at all times, yet often in isolation. Isn't this the paradox of our day? In fact, what I shared with the faculty last time was I was at Ohio State University and talking to faculty and coaches. And when I got to a break, one of the faculty came up with a big grin on his face. He said, "Oh, yes, this is a very social generation. Not really good with people, but they're very social." You know, how can that be? So we're fubbing now, phone snubbing, right? You're in an elevator, but nobody's talking to each other because we're all scrolling through our Instagram feeds. It's very important that I look at this. Instead of talking to each other, we're ghosting. If you have teenagers, have you talked to them about ghosting? That's where maybe a girl and a guy in high school are texting each other, but this conversation goes sideways. And so instead of having a hard conversation, breaking up or whatever, they just don't show up anymore. I'm serious. I talked to a high school female and I said, "Are you guys still dating?" She goes, "I don't think so." She literally said that. I said, "How do you not know?" "Well, he ghosted me. I don't know if he just left his phone at home or he doesn't like me anymore." And I'm going, this is a new day. Here's another one. Today's kids are the first generation that will learn more from a portable device than a class. That's actually a fact. The average adolescent today, actually, it just went up. The average adolescent in America today spends the equivalent of 9 hours a day. That's a full-time job on a screen. So they need to be savvy to screens, and I think they are getting savvy to screens naturally and with this great school, but will they also be good offline? I'm asking. I just talked to an employer. I'm not kidding. This is a true story. I just talked to an employer. He goes, "I don't know what to do." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I just interviewed a recently graduated college student for a full-time job." He said, "While I'm interviewing this young man, his phone rang during the job interview." So point number one, don't bring your phone to the interview. Might write that down for your kids. He not only looks at the call and says, "I'm going to take this," takes the call in the job interview. It gets worse. He goes, "Okay, excuse me, could I have the office alone?" He asked the employer to step out of his own office so he could take this call. Needless to say, he had plenty of time for the call because the interview was over. I'm just saying. And by the way, since we're on that topic, do you mind? I just did a human resource executive event where we were talking about onboarding the next generation. Everybody agrees this next generation is so savvy, so smart. But one HR executive came up to me, a female, and she said, "Dr. Elmore, I thought this might be an anomaly, but it's happened 6 times in the last 2 months." She said, "I just handed a job offer to a recently graduated student, ready to be a young professional." And she said, "These 6 young people said thank you, and then they said, but my mom and dad are now going to need to interview you to make sure you're a suitable boss for me." Needless to say, all 6 were ushered to the door. They didn't get the job. Now, can I stop down and make a comment? Well-intentioned mom and dads. Would you not agree? Well-intentioned. Okay. I think they meant well. That's what I'm trying to say. They meant well, but I'm just telling you. Now, can I tell you, I hear these all the time. That's one of the reasons I'm passionate. I don't think you're going to do this. I'm just saying, we have done a much better job protecting than preparing. Would you not agree with that sometimes? And I'm just saying, protection is natural. You'll always do that. What if we thought preparation? And it's not just academic preparation. It's life preparation. This could be a game changer. Okay, speaking of which, today's kids are the first generation that adults have actually enabled to be narcissistic. I'm not throwing the kids under the bus. I'm throwing us under the bus. So this is a day you can build your own platform, take 25,000 selfies. That's the average young adult will take 25,000 selfies. And measure your likes and views and shares and retweets. And all I'm saying is, when they get out into their job, it isn't all about them. And that's when they often find out for the very first time. Now, this last one I want to share with you is the one that concerns me the most. This is truly a first that I've seen. And I started teaching students in 1979. Today's kids are the first generation that experiences the same level of anxiety as a psychiatric patient did in the 1950s. When you look at the levels of stress, anxiety, often depression, it's the same levels that 60 years ago they were having when they were in a psych ward. So you might be asking, why would they be so stressed out? Why are they so anxious? I mean, they've never had it better. We're in Orlando, Florida, for Pete's sake. Here's why. There's a number of reasons. One is the pressure, either from you or self-imposed, to do academically well. Another one is social media. I'm not anti-social media. Many good things can happen. But can I tell you something? The average teenager is consuming 10,000 messages a day. I don't think our brains were wired to take in 10,000 messages a day, most of which we don't need. And some of that is just overwhelming, and they get stressed. So some of the wisest parents I know have little technology fast. At mealtime, there's a basket, put your phones in the basket. Or at bedtime, put them in at 9 o'clock. You don't need to be online. In our focus groups, many of the kids, these are middle school and high school kids, said, my parents have no idea what my life is like after midnight, meaning they're still online. So, not the end of the world. I'm just wanting to lay out the grid, and this is kind of the reality we have to look at. So, bottom line, it's new territory. You and I are in new territory as moms and dads today. I love this. Some have called it a Vujal Day world. I'll let that trickle to the back. Y'all know what deja vu is. I feel like I've been here before. Vujal Day is I feel like I've never been here before, actually. Okay? And then some have called it terra incognita, a world unknown and uncharted. I'm not saying human beings haven't had the same problems in terms of our self-esteem and our insecurities. We've always had. Humans need to be raised well with loving moms and dads who are velvet-covered bricks. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I'm telling you, what we're facing today, the realities that we have to navigate are just brand new.